Welcome to the third episode of the Campus Tour Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Cross, and I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my fantastic co-hosts, JD Andrus and Carson Wurzel. How are you doing, guys?
Oh, just excited for this episode, Nate.
Good.
All right.
Fantastic as a stretch, but yeah, all right.
I mean, better than what I do. We're also incredibly honored to have Cademan Parker on today, one of TCU's best arms. How are we doing, Cademan?
Doing good, doing good. Just appreciate y'all asking me to be on this.
Right. Cademan, tell us a little bit about yourself and like your journey to TCU and stuff. We'll get kickstarted and then we'll go to questions.
I'm Texas born and raised, always been local. I was born in the Woodlands near Houston, but my dad's a pastor, so he actually did seminary here at TCU. So we lived on campus, and I got to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game for a birthday when I was younger, and was always just a huge TCU fan. And so for me, I was always kind of smaller growing up, and I came into high school like 5'4", and I just wanted to be a point guard, wanted to play basketball, and was had no hopes of playing college baseball or college sports in general. But hit a growth spurt and grew to like about 6 foot, and then continued. Now I'm 6'4", 6'5", but kind of just had a big velo jump, and obviously started to get a little bit of attention from colleges, smaller colleges. But was really just blessed with some good coaches at my high school. I went to private school in the Woodlands, and the coaches there kind of just allowed me to be me and kind of put me in the right direction and in the right areas to be in front of the right people to play college baseball. And so obviously was fortunate enough to have TCU, offer me a scholarship. And for me, it was a no-brainer. It was kind of exactly where I wanted to be. So easy choice coming to TCU. And then my senior year was actually fortunate enough to be in a position of being looked at for the MLB draft at high school, which was for me something mind-boggling because I had just kind of gotten good at baseball in the last year and a half. So I wasn't even thinking about professional or anything. I was kind of just excited to go to TCU. So pulled my name out of the draft, kind of knew I wanted to be at TCU. And so obviously now 3 years into TCU, heading into number four. So looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, a lot's changed since that 5-4 U. You were just drafted by in the 11th round by the Milwaukee Brewers. Tell me a little bit about that experience and like what it was like.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, it was a little bit different than the time out of high school, because obviously when I was a senior in high school, I wanted to be at TCU, and I was just excited and wanted to go to college and didn't know a whole lot about professional baseball. So it was an easy decision. But this time, for me, I just kept praying and asking for it to be clear, for God to make the path clear for me, whichever way I was supposed to go. And obviously, day one, day two of the draft are the more exciting days. And so when the third day came around, which is rounds 11 through 20, I was actually running errands with my girlfriend and helping her grab some stuff to move into her house, and got a call. And they were like, "Hey, are you watching the draft?" And I was like, "No, I'm actually running errands. Why?" "Congratulations." And I was like, "For what?" And they were like, "We just took you in the 11th round." And so I was obviously shocked. And I do wish I would have been, at home with my mom and dad and been doing it like with my family. 'Cause that's just, it was an awesome moment nonetheless, but I wish that I could have kind of embraced it with my family, because obviously without them, I mean, I'm not getting drafted. So no, it was a cool moment nonetheless. But they had until the signing period ended August 1st, so by August 1st everybody had to be signed and go into the spring training facilities. And at the end of the day, I don't really find my value in money, and for me it wasn't a big old signing bonus. And I knew that there was some stuff that I needed to finish at TCU, and there were just some stones unturned. I feel like there was some unfinished business, and I was looking forward to coming back for a fourth year, and obviously hoping to have a good year and try it all again next year.
When you saw it was an unknown number, was there like a chance that you thought about just declining it, thinking it was spam, or were like you kind of knew you might get an unknown number calling you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been weird. I was always taught growing up, like, if you don't have the number saved, don't answer the phone. And so when the number called, it's been a little bit different the last couple of years, because you'll have some area scouts or scouting directors or things like that who will call you just to check in. And I don't have those numbers saved. And so I actually declined a couple of them early on in the process and kind of got told like, "Hey, you need to pick up those phone calls from people." So I kind of got in a habit of answering them, but not immediately being like, "Hello, if it is a scam," like kind of letting the conversation come to me. So yeah, part of me was like, "I don't, this is probably nothing." So obviously it didn't make me think, oh, this is it, this is the call. So it was weird.
That's super. That's hilarious that you declined some of my. I find that just super funny. I'm sorry, Nate, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I know you talked a little bit about it, but like, coming back to TCU, like, you had a really good season last season, and you can't, you're coming back from injury and stuff from last season, and like, what are your expectations for this upcoming season? Like, getting ready for it and stuff.
For me, I kind of, this past year, I was just hoping to feel healthy because for me, my freshman year, I kind of got hurt in the fall and obviously through my freshman spring, but never really felt 100%. And then obviously tore my UCL and had Tommy John, so missed the whole year. My whole sophomore year, went to Omaha, didn't get to throw in that, which obviously sucked. But the goal for me was just to feel healthy. And so I kind of put expectations on myself without knowing it. Of like trying to be, something that I can't really control. So what I realized is now that I feel strong, feel healthy, and my arms, taken care of, I'm just looking to have a good year. And I'm really just taking it day by day because the second I start to put myself in a spot where, oh, you have to be this, you have to be that. If you don't do this, then if I don't do it, I'm just a failure and it hurts my mental state more than anything. So for me, I'm just trying to be the best version of myself and be a good teammate. And if the good things come, then so be it. We'll enjoy them. But as of right now, I can't control if I'm going to be, a Big 12 pitcher of the year or whatever it may be.
Damon, you said you're kind of feeling at 100% going into this year. Is there a role that you prefer? Because we've seen you bounce around from starter to reliever to closer. Is there a role that you prefer?
I mean, like I had said, I mean, I kind of like came onto the scene super late and kind of the only thing that I knew was starting. And then obviously my freshman year started on Tuesdays, and this past year I kind of just assumed that I was going to be in some sort of starter role. But I was also just under the impression that whatever we got to do to win some ball games, I'm good with it. And so whether
Right.
that be, starting in a Big 12 tournament game or closing in against Texas Tech on a Sunday to get a series or whatever it may be, I was just kind of in the mindset of I just got to do the best version of me to win some ball games. So ideally starter, but whatever's going to help the team is what I want.
Speaking of closing against Tech, that was one of the most
Oh,
electric things I
yeah.
think we've ever discussed on our podcast. We've
That was
watched
super
that
fun.
was, yeah, the group chat was going crazy whenever you were on the mound that during that inning, and I can't imagine how you felt.
That was the most amount of energy I've ever shown on any sort of playing field.
Oh yeah, we could tell.
It was awesome to watch. It
Was
was.
like one of those moments that I, not that like I was ready for it before it happened, but looking back on it, like that, those are the moments that like I dreamt of as a kid. Like
Oh
if
yeah.
you're closing against Texas Tech or TCU to win a series, like that was like 4-year-old me in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, that was awesome to watch. And then at Globe Life, with West Virginia and everything, and obviously the tournament didn't go how you guys went, but like that tournament run was just kind of insane. Like you guys were like, one, Peyton Tolley gets hit in the face with throw around the horn. Did you guys make fun of him a little bit during when that happened in the dugout?
I mean, I was on chart, and so I'm busy writing down, Tolley's numbers and velocities and stuff, and talking to Coach Lon about, pitch sequencing and stuff. And next thing I know, Tolley gets the out. He's jogging in, and it looks like he has a black eye. And I was like, "Did I miss something? When did he get hit in the face?" And so then, obviously, he iced it and was fine. I mean, he's tough as nails. But I think that when Brody from third threw him the ball, he just lost in the light and hit him in the face. So yeah, we made fun of him for sure because it was only his fault.
Yeah. We were watching there. I believe all three of us were in the press box when that happened, and we were just sitting there like, did he just get hit with the ball? We were very confused as well, but it was quite a memorable week there at Globe Life.
Yeah, we
I
really
think.
thought we were gaining some ground there. So it kind of sucked that we didn't make a regional, but.
Yeah. Okay. Pivoting on that. We just spoke with Abel, what, like a week ago, Carson?
About a week ago.
And we put a podcast up with him, and he said, we asked him about you guys not making the regional and his thoughts and everything. And he said that he personally felt like you guys didn't deserve to be at the regional with how y'all played. Was that kind of a consensus feeling in the locker room, or was it a lot of hurt too? Just, kind of just talk us through.
I don't know. I think it was just a really weird year. I mean, we started 13-0 and was cruising, and everything was really good. And then we got into conference against Kansas, we lost that series. And then from then on, it kind of just felt like, okay, let's take a step back here and get on our feet so we can start getting above the water, because we felt like we were kind of underwater for a long time. So I mean, with conference play, I do kind of understand the fact that like maybe we shouldn't have been in it anyway, but at the same time, we kind of fought our way back. And when it comes to like records and head-to-head matchups and whatever the F RPI, whatever, if that didn't even matter at that point, I don't know. I felt like it could have gone 50-50. I mean, we were out on the turf that day, and when Lowe's came over and was like, "Hey, didn't get in," and that was obviously a shocker and stab to the heart. But I do think that if we would have gotten a chance, I think it would have been crazy. Like, I think that we were gaining ground. But the argument was just that how is Florida in? They're under 500. How did Florida get in? Or like, how did K-State get in? Like, we beat them head to head. Like, so there was just some. I guess it's all part of the committee. That's kind of the politics of it.
I think my biggest argument as to why y'all should have gotten in is because the committee has said before that they look at like past performances in the postseason, and I feel like they just threw that out of the door when they, left a few teams out, I including TCU. That's my only point against it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with that is that kind of helped Florida get in, because I think
Right.
Florida's history of the postseason,
Yeah.
they made it to Omaha, great. But we did the same thing the year before.
Yeah, why didn't it transfer to TCU as well?
Exactly. That's just the
Nope,
whole.
no committee member. That's all
Maybe.
politics, man.
Maybe.
Haven, what do y'all think y'all need to do like to improve y'all's odds going into the postseason like next season, this upcoming season? Like, I mean, y'all had a solid finish, but like what do you think you need to do to like ensure that it's a for sure ticket?
I mean, obviously there's a lot of things to go into it. I mean, bottom line, we got to hit pitch and play defense. But I think that at the end of the day, it comes down to the buy-in. And it's the group of guys, and this fall's gonna be fun. I think we have a lot of guys that are gonna be here for the fall, and I hope that we get a group of guys who all want to pull in the right direction and who are willing to buy in and willing to do whatever it takes to win some games. Because everyone wants to be in Omaha, but some guys don't want to go throw the seventh if you're down 10, or some guys don't want to bunt, in a key situation. They'd rather swing or whatever it may be. I just think that it comes down to the type of guys that we have, on our team. And Los always does a great job recruiting the right guys for that. I just think it's going to come down to buying in, getting everybody on the same page.
And
Kind of
go
speaking
ahead,
on kind of
Carson.
like the new faces, have you talked to any of the transfers or anything like that?
Yeah, I've met a handful of them. I think that
Okay.
one of them actually is me and Brody and Anthony. We live together and with Cohen, and we
Okay.
had the Cal transfer, Trey Newman. He just moved in with us, so
Okay,
got to
cool.
be with him the last couple of days. And he's a cool guy, and I think that he's kind of got that desire to win. So I think that it'll be good.
Good.
Yeah, when are you guys all gonna get together? I know school starts next week for you guys. When's like the first like official time you guys are all kind of getting together, introducing and all that?
I mean, we'll probably have. I know we have a compliance meeting this weekend at some point, but I think we'll probably do team meeting or get the whole team together at somebody's house and hang out. But it'll probably be this weekend when everybody finally gets all together in the same room.
You gotta show Cole Kramer a little bit around Texas. He's a Washington boy. We had him on the podcast too, and he's like, dude, I just want to know where to eat around there. So you're gonna have to show him around
Oh yeah.
and show him all the places.
We'll get in the spots for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Cohen. What's his recovery like? Is he going to be able to pitch this upcoming season? What's his role going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, he's been taking it really serious. I think that the beauty of it is that I went through it and I hated it, like it sucked, but I got to kind of answer some questions for Cohen, and even when Blake Rogers tore his, and so I kind of liked that I could be there and help them, like, here, this really worked for me, this didn't work, but Cohen's looking really good. He's doing all of his stuff, taking it day by day, and he's throwing bullpens right now. I think that he's supposed to be completely full recovered by like October, November.
Okay.
So,
Awesome.
Yeah, I saw somebody posted on social media of him throwing a bullpen, and I was like, oh, hey, he's actually throwing off a mound again. That's awesome.
yeah.
Cademan, obviously, senior, kind of going into your senior year. I don't really know if it's all senior year officially with how COVID years and redshirt years and injury years all work anymore, but Are you pretty much like one of the leaders now with the pitching staff? Because like it's a nice veteran room, but there's a lot of new faces on that pitching staff too. Are you kind of one of the main leaders of that pitching staff?
I mean, I don't know if I like the idea of like being a self-proclaimed leader. I do think that I take pride in the way that I do things and the way that I handle my business. And so I think that, if I just continue to do the things I know how, maybe people will catch on to it. And the nice thing is that me and Cohen are the only ones who have been here all 3 years. So we got to see when Perk was a pitching coach, when Wink was a pitching coach, with Los as a pitching coach, with like we've seen everything. And so we've kind of known what's worked and got to experience guys like Augie Milbauer and Austin Krobe and Marcelo Perez. And so I think that I'm looking forward for me and Cohen to kind of be those guys to the younger guys and the new faces, because those guys like Krobe and Augie and Marcelo, and they instilled in me, especially, I don't know about Cohen, but what it means to be a TCU pitcher, like the things that we must do if we want to be good, and just the things that come with it. And so I'm hoping that somebody will catch a glimpse of that.
What's like some advice you're going to give to some of the like freshmen or the younger athletes coming in this season? Like you've been there, like you said that have you like thought of anything you want to tell them before, learning from what you have done?
I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was pretty bad freshman year when it comes to handling academics and meetings, and I went through a pretty rough patch of not being able to handle my stuff. So I've kind of been through everything, thrown and been healthy, been hurt for a year, been on the chopping block with coaches. And so I think that at the end of the day, I'm just hoping that these guys will just take it day by day. And I think that when you start to set your eyes on some big, lofty goals way ahead of you, you start to lose track of where you're at. And so that, for me at least, that was a distraction. So hopefully some of these guys will just want to take it day by day and be a good teammate and try to just do everything they can the best they can.
Yeah,
How do
bringing
you?
it back to those Yan Yuan days of economics, that sucked.
Class was brutal, man.
Speaking of classes, Cademan, I think we had a geology class together like 2 semesters. No, I think it was last semester in that big the big lecture hall.
I remember.
That what did you think about that class?
I mean, it was, I'm not like, school's not my favorite thing, but I've learned to do well at it just so I can be good.
Well, it seems like it.
Gotcha.
Your second team academic all Big 12 this past season. So looks like you figured out something.
I am more proud of that accolade than anything else.
Heck yeah.
Good.
Hey,
That's awesome.
all right. I gotta ask because I think I've asked every single person that we've interviewed so far. What is your favorite set of the jerseys? Like TCU is known for having such nice jerseys. Which one is your favorite set?
See, to be honest, and if Brad ends up watching this and wants to give me hate, I'm all for it. I'm not a fan of our new uniforms that much.
Which
I miss
ones? The pinstripes or the blacks or?
new jerseys themselves. Like I miss the old
Oh.
ones. They felt more like big league style. Like they were a little bit bigger, the sleeves were a little longer. I felt better in them. But I do love the pins. I do love the pinstripes a lot. But I don't know. I like the blacks too. I don't know. It's tough. For me, it's between the blacks and the pins.
Yeah, I think you're the first one to say they don't like the new jerseys. Everyone else has been,
It's more the material of them.
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like when we got the new uniforms, obviously I think that they either keep the old ones or maybe auction them or something. I don't know.
Right.
But I got one of them, and I think I got our old like pinstripe, maybe one of them, but like just the material's different. Like, yeah, they were a little bit hotter, but they were a little bit baggier. Like, I kind of felt more professional in those uniforms. I don't know. It was the
Oh,
material. It wasn't the look.
so we have a fanatic situation going on here.
Yeah. Making
Whoa,
the jerseys
okay.
bad.
I
At
just know
least.
the other thing too is I know all the MLB guys, they didn't like the new jerseys either. Oh yeah,
They
it's really easy to
hated
remember.
them.
I don't know. It's just maybe there's something there.
Hey, at least the pants weren't as bad as the MLB's pants, you know. That
Oh,
would have been a whole different
there you go.
situation.
Yeah, but I'm not sliding, so I don't know. I have no
Yeah.
idea about.
I mean, y'all's jerseys are definitely better than what football's got, so at least looks wise.
I don't get it, man. We have some really good uniforms, and we just keep switching it up.
As long
Hey.
as they keep like the blood red uniforms, I'm good. Just because
I'm
I
No more spikes on the neck of the football jerseys
Oh
or
yeah, no, that's bad. I
Look, you want to talk about theories in politics and earlier about the committee. That's why the jerseys suck now. Phil Knight said no one else
Oh.
gets good jerseys besides Oregon, so then players will want to go there. I'm telling you, I'm not a
So
conspiracy theorist guy, but I believe in that one.
that's why TCU didn't get in. It's because the quality of our jerseys. Got it.
Yes, that's
All
exactly why. It's what I've been saying
right.
the whole time. It came and just reinforced it. He said that the jerseys were bad. Look, it's all making sense now.
That's just me personally. That's just me personally.
Every single person I talk to now, I'm gonna be like, "So, Caven really hates the jerseys. Is that what you feel
Hate
too?"
is the wrong word.
Yeah.
Cademan, are we sticking? Your walk-up song was really sick last year. Are we sticking with it or are we changing it up?
Don't know. I as of right now, I kind of want to stick with it. I liked Revolution. I kind of like the reggae style. But I don't know. I need to go through all of their albums and stuff and just see what other songs we're working with. I'm definitely gonna go Revolution again.
Okay.
Do you have a game day like ritual that you have to do every single time?
I don't know about pregame. I mean, every time I throw, I eat Whataburger after the game. That's something
Okay.
that I've done since like junior year of high school. Every time I do something athletic, whether in high school, if it was football, basketball, or baseball, didn't matter. But if we had a game, I got Whataburger after every game. So I still do that, but I don't really have any pregame rituals.
Okay. Is there anybody that on the team maybe from last season that you know had a weird ritual or anything like that?
A weird ritual.
Or just maybe the most interesting.
See, like, we don't have any weird, like, gotta wear the same pair of underwear,
Right.
or I can't really think of anybody that had anything bizarre.
Okay.
Yeah, pitchers are like hockey goalies. They all got some weird things they do, but they don't think they're weird until you tell other people that they're weird.
Yeah.
What's it like getting rid of OU in Texas? That was the last time y'all will play them, unless it's non-conference. How you feel about that?
I don't know. The whole conference thing is weird to me. I understand it kind of like from like a student's and like revenue standpoint, but when it comes to like athletic performance, I don't really see how it makes sense for them to like go to the SEC when the SEC is just so powerful when in terms of football at least. But like in terms of baseball, I'm gonna miss playing. Those were always two of kind of like my favorite series just because UT was always heated no matter what, like whether it was here or in Austin, like it was always a good series. I guess OU, doesn't really matter to me that much, but I'm gonna miss playing UT.
For sure.
Speaking under that same umbrella, like, where's your favorite school to play at? Like, that's not TCU, right? Like, where's your favorite away school to play at? Or maybe even just like Globe Life. Like, where's your favorite place to play?
I mean, Globe Life is incredible. I just think to me, it's the facilities. Like, yeah, it's awesome, like looking up and seeing all those stands, but like the bullpen is super nice. They have like the bullpen, like inside area, and they have like the bathroom, like the mound is always super good. But surprisingly, I loved Cincinnati's field. Like, for some reason, I'm a sucker of like a skyline, like behind like the outfield fence. And so for me, we were kind of like sunken down. All the seats were above you, and like the skyline was in the back, which I thought was awesome. Obviously, we didn't play them well, but I enjoyed playing at their stadium.
Yeah.
You said you like skylines. I'm really hoping that you guys are playing at BYU this coming season. Just because the backdrop of that is, I need an excuse to go and watch a game there.
That's a school that I want to play away for sure.
Yes.
Do you like, I mean, I know like obviously there is a little bit, but maybe less so in baseball. But like, do you really feel that there's a big difference between playing a series at home and playing it away?
Personally, no. I do think that as like a hitter, well, I guess maybe a little bit because I know like at TCU, I mean, I give up my fair share of home runs, but usually at TCU, the ball doesn't really fly that well. Like usually wind's always blowing in and nobody hits a lot of home runs. And so I know for hitters, like they want to go to a place where they can hit the long ball. But in the opposite, like Texas Tech is a launch pad. Like the ball, if it goes in the air, it's going over the fence. And so as a hitter, they love it. But as a pitcher, I don't like that. Like I don't want to like have to go get a fly ball and then it ends up being a home run. So it kind of depends, I think. I think if like in a neutral spot, like if Globe Life is considered a home game for us, like in the Big 12 tournament because we're the closest, but then it's like technically an away series if we're playing in like that Globe Life showcase at the beginning of the year. I don't know. I don't think it matters that much, to be honest. But that's just me personally. I think hitters for sure think it makes a difference.
Yeah.
What was the top like speed that you topped this year? I heard mixed things about this. Like, what did you top on the radar?
I don't even remember the exact number. The hardest I've ever thrown is 97.3. And that was my senior year of high school. But I don't, maybe like 90, I think like 96.9 maybe this last year.
It was up there. As I
Really
was
think
watching
that.
like the games, I could tell it was up there.
What's your favorite pitch that you throw?
Shoot any of them.
The
Count
one
and
that
air and weather and stuff like that. I don't know.
that's gonna get outs.
Shoot, any of them.
I like that.
That's a good
We'll
answer.
count bottom of the ninth, aliens are invading. There's no Iguodala available. We got to go to Cademan Parker on the mound. Like, he's going to any of his pitches. Like, he's confident. I like that. Oh, also, I do have one more question, and then I think I'm out of my questions. Is do you guys consider DBU a rivalry?
I don't consider it a rivalry like I considered UT and Baylor a rivalry, but I do think it's just weird because we play them twice a year and it's Tuesdays. Like they're midweek games, so like we don't get like a three-game series with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's different whenever like we're throwing our best guys on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're throwing their best guys Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That would be different, but because we are going on like midweeks, you're facing different arms, you're facing, just like different, it's different styles. So it's a rivalry, but not as deep and competitive, I think, as like the Big 12 ones.
Well, Cademan, what's it like having I know you're a pitcher, but like what's it like having Coach Mosiello back in the coaching staff, and like how does that affect the team going forward? How does it like affect the mindset and everything else?
I mean, I had Coach Mo my freshman year, and obviously as a pitcher, I didn't work with him. But I do just I know that a bunch of hitters love him, and for me, I'm glad to have him back because I know how much the city of Fort Worth loves him too. But I do know how he knows a lot about baseball. Like he's a real genius, and I think he cares about his players and wants them to be better. So I'm excited for that to be back. I think that there were some hitters who might not have enjoyed Coach Bruce. They might, love Coach Mo. But there might be guys who love Coach Bruce and might not like Coach Mo, but that's just part of, the coaching politics. But I'm looking forward to having him back. I like him a lot.
I think I've only got one more question as well. Cademan, there's a picture of you from the Super Regional 2 years ago, and it's from the POV of like behind the mound looking up at you while you're warming up, and the stands are just packed out. Have you seen that picture?
In a super regional?
I believe so, yeah.
I have never pitched in a super regional.
Oh, it might have been I don't know. Okay, maybe I have the wrong person. I thought it was you. But either way, I just think that's a really cool picture.
It might be that could have been Sam Stoutenborough because I was hurt that whole year.
Oh, it might be.
I'm just thinking somebody with like the flow, like the hair. I think it.
Maybe. I'll have to go back and check. Sorry.
I've seen it and shown actually a couple times. No,
Okay.
but no, I've never
Okay.
been put in a super regional.
Okay, apologies.
You weren't one of the guys who cut their hair during the season. Like a bunch of the guys seemed to like it was that just kind of a talked about thing in the locker room that you guys just buzzed your hair like halfway through the season?
This past year,
Yeah.
funny enough, we were actually over at our house and we were just sitting there and somebody was like, "We got to switch something up." And I was like, "Nope, I was hurt." And I shaved my head for Omaha. I'm not shaving my head again. And so I didn't do it, but there were like Tolley was just like, screw it, I'll do it. Shaved his head. And then obviously we had Anthony Follow and however many else other guys ended up doing it too. But obviously it didn't work out for us. But I think that was just a switch up of mojo type thing.
Yeah. Was there any part of you that really wanted to, and then you just like looked at your hair one time and you're like, no.
No part of me wanted to do it. I do because I did it the previous year because it was, yeah, I did it the previous year before we started the regional at Arkansas. And it was nice not having to like do my hair in the morning or like I just wake up and just like walk. Like there was no, so that was nice, but I couldn't wear hats. Like I wear hats pretty much every day and I like having hair out of the back of it. So I didn't want to cut my hair again.
Well, Kidman, it was great having you on. Is there a way for like people to follow you and like social media wise and stuff? And like how can they follow you and see how your like season's going and how you're preparing and stuff?
Yeah, I have Instagram. It's just hold on, let me look what it is. It's just kidman.parker, and I think the my Twitter, I mean X, sorry.
You're gonna get sued now.
For Parker. So yeah, I mean it is what it is, but we love the support and all the Frog fans that come out to Lupton every weekend. They don't go unnoticed. So looking forward to another good season.
Well, Kidman, we'll have to grab a round of golf before season starts, and I'll get you out there.
For sure, for sure.
Maybe JD will be healed by then. Maybe we
Dude,
can all go.
if I can't play by then I'm just amputating my foot and getting a titanium one. That's all I'm saying.
That might be fun.
It would make going to the airport awful, but if it gets me out there for golf quicker.
But think about kicking a football, though. Man, it'd be crazy.
Oh yeah, I wonder. 100-yard field goals.
Yeah,
It's a heck of a contract right there. Yeah, Cademan, it was awesome having you on, man. I'm sure all three of us will be there at fall camp this year. So we'll watch you guys. We're talking about maybe doing a little short mini podcast on the field with you guys, like right when practice ends. Just kind of talking shop with you guys, checking in on you. So we'd love to have you on again and just kind of hope, everything goes well, everyone stays healthy. That's just the biggest part.
for sure.
Yeah, and this podcast will be out on Apple Music, Spotify, and also on the Killer Frogs website. So everybody go check it out there. But again, thank you, Cademan, for taking a little bit of your last couple days of summer to hop on with us.
No, I appreciate y'all. Thanks.
Thanks, Caden.